So I had a discussion yesterday morning on Twitter, very briefly, and I'm concluding the thought that I'd like to leave with this individual. And this had to do with context. I think I told you that the tease was for somebody who said that Jim Morrison was an amateur hack because he died of a drug overdose. Basically, because he died young of a drug overdose. He was an amateur hack, and Bob Dylan's a professional because Bob Dylan's still alive. And I guess, what, paying his bills? I don't know. So there's a whole other thing. Being a professional is, you know, showing up on time and all that stuff. Well, it's true, and I've often heard that said, but I'm not going to sit here 40 years, 50 years after the fact and talk about some guy who, you know, helped revolutionize one particular art form called music and say he wasn't a professional, that he was a hack. I know what a fucking hack is, man. A hack is a guy is playing at something and not really doing it. And God knows that the audio entertainment radio / podcast business is fucking ass heavy with motherfuckers like that. Playing at it, not really doing it. Guys that like the idea of being on the radio and being entertainers, and guys that have to do it, because if they don't, they'll wind up leading a life of crime, like me. So you can say what you want about what I do, for instance, or anybody else that I think is somebody to be admired, but a hack, they're not, and a non-professional, they're not. So it's interesting. I make a living at this. You know, a lot of the people that will be your detractors, for instance, don't make a living at the very thing that they're giving you advice on. They make a living at, they get paid money so that they can go in and drink for an afternoon. And then when they get their $5, they hit the pavement and go, you know, see what else they can do. All right, so or what I wrote down here is, pursuant to yesterday's discussion of context, on today's show, you're not a man if you borrow money from your folks or live at home like a bitch. How about that? You're not a man if you borrow money from your parents or live at home like some fucking bitch. We say, well, of course not. You're a boy. Yes. But I mean, I'm 31 or 32. Just, you're not a man yet. How do you like that? What do you think? Well, Phil, do you really think that? Who gives a fuck, man? What do I think? Just take that on the surface. Tell me what you think. Because we have to remember there's context. And I'm going to jump in. I'm going to listen to this fucking podcast that this guy's going to do about Jim Morrison. The guy used a word. The guy used a word that I don't give a fuck what his context is. The word is completely inapplicable when it comes to Jim Morrison. The word was hack. And I guarantee you, if I listen to that goddamn podcast, that motherfucker means it. Now, I'm sure he'll qualify it. He'll say, well, I don't mean a hack. But, you know, there's something about, no. If you say that the guy's a hack, then the context of that would be, for instance, you're being satirical or you're being sarcastic or you're quoting somebody. But there's no context around saying that a guy is a hack that doesn't mean he's a hack, unless it's one of the aforementioned. Jim Morrison was not a professional. He was a hack. Bob Dylan is a fucking professional. Okay, what's going on here, man? Because Bob Dylan, what? Is able to crawl out of bed in the morning and get to a fucking recording date, or is able to, what? I don't know. It's interesting. All right, so welcome back here to our show, such as it is, such as we are, such as we am. And I just like the ocean in the background, the El Pacifico Ocean in the background. What else could I find wrong about what's happening here this morning? What else can I get pissed off about here? Try to do something like this. Just try to, you know, it's the never-ending battle to keep the motherfucking shadow out of my good look. Reaction to Roger Goodell's news conference was a Goodell discussed conduct policy, high-profile cases. I am so thrilled that we have in our midst the DirecTV. This is fantastic. The only thrill that I didn't get was going back to Time Warner with those cable boxes and canceling the fucking service myself. You know, our good close personal friends here with the support staff at philhenryshow.com did that. Who are, you know, all for one and one for all. We love them all. But nonetheless, it was done. Time Warner, goodbye, motherfuckers. Who fucking needs it? Now, I understand it's more money. But that is the price that I choose to pay because I have to have this shit. You know, that's kind of, it's part and parcel of what I do for a living. I gotta have this shit, you know. I can't not have it. So here it is. Is this the crash of the flight there in, where are these guys at? MH17. Yeah, they're wondering what the hell happened to, what's his face? They don't know what happened to Kim Sung-un. And I told you guys, I'm reading the book now, The Impossible State, Korea. Man, this is a great book. This is it's getting good, man. I suspended reading about Huguenot Clark, the multi-million-dollar woman that lived in New York. Wasn't she the one that was giving money to John Edwards? I started reading about her life, a book called Empty Mansions, but I quickly got sidetracked by this book, The Impossible State. It's the history of North Korea. And why is North Korea the way it is? What the fuck? You know? Do you know why North Korea is able to survive in the state that it's in? In other words, do you know why North Korea is able to exist? Why its people, who could easily, and when I say easily, it's not a very difficult thing for a people to throw off a government that they hate if the sentiment infiltrates the armed forces. If you get the armed forces on your side, then the battle is as good as won. But people don't have that much influence with the army. The people with money have influence with everything. And the people who have the money are generally the people at the top. The North Korean army, built following World War II, steeped in the traditions of the Soviet and Chinese armies, not so much traditions, but steeped in the overall ideological and militaristic indoctrination of those two armed forces, along with all of the political ideology that was happening and a really fucked up, weird-ass group of leaders. They've had three leaders in North Korea. They've had Kim Sung-il, they've had Kim Jong-il, and they've had Kim Jong-un. Grandfather, grandfather, father, son, if you will. And now this guy is missing, this Kim Jong-un. Kim Il-sung, that's right, that was his name. I don't know why they put the Il in front of the, because it's, you know, the surname and the given name. This cat was I'm watching the catcher for the Cardinals working. What's the guy's name? Perez? Great fucking catcher. Great arm. And they just showed a dinger here. All right. So this country of Korea, North Korea, is a country that became the way it became because the people of Korea consider themselves to be really super special people. That's number one. The people of Korea consider themselves to be a very unique people. They've been overrun and had their asses kicked God knows how many countless generations down through thousands of years. They have stood tall. They consider themselves, now get a load of this. This is, the author pointed out, and I think he's right, this is almost a fascist or certainly a nationalistic, national socialist point of view. They consider themselves to be pure, that is to be racially pure. Koreans are, man, they're still playing that fucking game in Korea. They consider themselves to be superior, you know, in terms of ability to all the peoples of the region. So, you know, they put up with an awful lot because they believe they are leading the pure path. They are leading a path that is avoiding all of the falls, the pitfalls of imperialism and capitalism, and at the same time is avoiding the extremisms of Mao's Cultural Revolution and the extremisms, what they consider to be extremist rhetoric, of the anti-Stalinist rhetoric in Soviet Russia. They felt that Stalin wasn't such a bad guy. After all, it was Stalin that, quote, liberated the North from the Japanese. It was Stalin, the Stalinist Russians, the Stalinist Soviets that liberated the North from the Japanese. Which brings us to another point. Following World War II, and when the North Korean and South Korean states came to be, the South Koreans, the administration of South Korea was populated with former Japanese collaborators and people that were seen as American puppets. America had no interest in administering a state in South Korea. We had no fucking interest in becoming the de facto leaders there. And it, we had no interest in managing that state the way we were managing Japan after the war. We had our fucking hands full in Japan. We didn't want to fucking deal with South Korea. So the individual, so what we did is we just put a bunch of fucking troops there along with the United Nations, and we said, okay, hey, we will militarily reinforce your ass, and it's all going to be good, right? So that's cool, and that's where that was at. Now comes North Korea, and their state is not propped up by former imperialist lackeys like Syngman Rhee was the first president of South Korea, considered to be an American stooge. This was a guy, I think, that was an expatriate, as a matter of fact, and had and might I think he either he or Park, the succeeding president, had been living in America. They hadn't even been in fucking Korea, you know. So this motherfucker is seen by the Korean people as this imperialist lackey or this this Japanese collaborator. And meanwhile, in North Korea, you have this Kim Il-sung, who is a freedom fighter. This guy was in the mountains fighting the Japanese all through World War II. This guy's the real deal. He's a real patriot. He's a blood and guts, hard-ass fighting dude. Kim Jong-un's sister in charge. Well, there's a real... That's interesting. How'd that happen? That's what they're saying right now. Kim Jong-un's sister in charge, because they haven't seen this mental midget in many a day. All right. So South Korea was had one foot in the shit for a long motherfucking time. And really, you know, if this was if the rules of life applied equally in this situation, and if the communist system or the Korean slash communist system, because the Korean system in North Korea, the Korean interpretation of communism or Marxist-Leninist doctrine was not entirely devoid of, you know, theistic undertones. I'm not saying they believed in God, but they did deify and continue to sort of deify this guy, Kim Il-sung, as the founding entity. As a matter of fact, very interesting episode happened in 1866 in North Korea. There was a U.S. schooner paddleboat, a United States naval ship, called the USS General Sherman. It had been sent to Korea, one of many missions to open Korea to trade. The West, in all of its glorying arrogance, and these were the times and these were the people, wanted to open up the Far East to trade. The United States was one of those countries, and the United States sent a naval ship loaded down with wares to trade, yes, and loaded down with goodwill, quote-unquote, but also was an armed ship. It was a military vessel, and it went ahead and sailed right the fuck on into North Korea. It went into what is now North Korea, Pyongyang. It went past these gates on the river and headed right up to the capital city there and anchored. It pissed the Koreans off, and the Koreans attacked, sunk, and killed every member of the crew. This happened. 1866, look it up. The General Sherman, SS General Sherman sent to Korea. And there had been other attempts to open up Korea to trade, and there would be other attempts after that. And eventually the United States prevailed. This incident only furthered our resolve to get into Korea. In fact, further militarized our efforts at getting into Korea. So, you know, America's dealings with the rest of the world, while we're a democratic state, have been pretty imperial in their you know, effort. So that is the backdrop. And now you have modern North Korea, And you have this guy, Kim Il-sung, who is the freedom fighter out of the mountains. He's leading the North Koreans. And, oh, yeah, one other fucking goddamn thing. This guy is the heir to the freedom fighters of 1866. As a matter of fact, we think he's related to one of the main generals, if not the leader of Korea at that time. Yeah, sure, we can make that happen, say the propagandists of North Korea. And so they did, and it is in the mind of most Koreans that this guy goes all the way back to those great, to those heady days of 1866 when they actually fought the United States Navy there on the river outside of Pyongyang and burned and sunk the ship and killed every member of the crew. So North Korea's roots are firmly anti-West. And that doesn't mean they can't change, but that's, you know, where it's at, man. And at one time, like I was telling you guys yesterday, one time, fucking Koreans, man, North Korea had it all over South Korea. They had more fucking GDP. They had more GNP. They had more electricity. They had more this. They had more that. They had more goods and services. They were stronger militarily. South Korea was running around trying to find its ass with both hands. Couldn't do it. South Korea was a piece of shit at one time. And for a long time. South Korea was a dictatorship, every bit as repressive as North Korea, but was trying to get itself set on this track toward democracy and capitalism. Democracy and capitalism are always born out of imperial or autocratic government. That's what makes it necessary. It's what makes the revolution and the effecting of, you know, or the implementing of democratic or capitalist institutions possible, because they had what, you know, was a repressive autocratic, or let's just say the money was going to the wrong people. Power to the people, man. That means we have the chance. We have the chance to make a couple of dollars ourselves. Now, we're going to take a look at our news this morning. I actually had a thing I wanted to pull something off of the email. I'm not even sure if we'll use it, but it was a story I saw on Metafilter. And where are we, man? With all these FBI. The fuck is this? Who the hell's he? Who are you writing to, Alex? What? You know, I'm going to kill the Bobby Dooley podcast. It's just not worth it. Not fucking worth it. What? I don't know. There, here's, when you're a BSP, you get some of these news. I'm going to kill the Bobby Dooley podcast. It's fucking over, man. It was originally intended to be every so often, only with big names that Bobby wanted to talk to. And now we're just jamming. No offense to the people that we've gotten on the Bobby Dooley podcast. You know, they're all wonderful people, but it's not like, you know, that it's not there to, and I don't think it works. I think it worked. I think it was novel the first few times. I don't think it works anymore. I just don't. What the fuck is wrong with this thing, man? I just don't like doing that podcast anymore. It's not fun. It's not interesting. I'm sure as fuck not going to drag my motherfucking ass out of bed and drive all the way down to the West Side and do an interview that, you know, the Jay Moore, the high point of the Bobby Dooley podcast were probably, you know, when we were doing Jay Moore and Joel McHale and Chris D'Elia and some of the ones that were really, you know, a lot of energy and a lot of real improvisational fun. I thought it was a good idea if we had the right guests, but not a good idea just... And again, these characters, doing them live, there's a whole other kind of, you know, difficulty involved there. Clifford Holly named assistant director, FBI. Stratford, here we go. The New Statesman. Manifesto for the New Man, How the Great White Male Can Stay Relevant. Anytime an article is says something like that, man, I gotta read it. This thing then. The New Statesman. So we'll see what that has to offer us, man. But in the meantime, we're just going to have to do some quick hitting news there. AJ Green caught off field during practice. Memory and guilt. Airplane cleaners at LaGuardia have gone on strike. Oh, God. Well, I don't blame them. I mean, if there's a guy that's coming over here from fucking Liberia... Fuck, man, we have no motherfucking time to do this show. Fuck you.
The number one fan. Don't open my mouth, let her talk to my fans. My Benjamin Franklin's. A couple of grands, I got rubber bands. My paper plane's making a dance. Get dirty, I'm like, that's part of my rebuilding.
Who's this motherfucker? Is this that Florida motherfucker? Boy, he sucks. Motherfucker stuck. I can't stand this guy. Shit. That body belong on a poster. I'm in the days that bottom is waving at me like, damn it, I know you. You run the show like a gun out of holster. Tell me whatever and I'll be your gopher. You, man. Shut up.
Say, baby, I'ma wait up for you. I'ma have my way with your body, and when I'm done touching you, I bet you won't wanna give yourself to nobody. Maybe when the lights go out, it's like we're the only ones. And I already feel it now, it's like you're the only one. Only one who knows just how to make the time stand still when caught in the moment. So don't let me down. One and rolling one, I come and break you down for fun. You love it when I get up in and kiss your body when I'm finished. My drop crouch is bi-nomadic, my drop top is automatic. Put you in it, now you tweaking. I can nap you for the weekend. Rolling up and going up, I'm smoking weed and pulling up. I take that money, hold it up, I take your legs.
You ain't smoking all that much weed, Wiz.
I tell you not to make a sound. I take that KK, pass it around your clothes, keep dropping to the ground.
Well, this is Wiz Khalifa and Promises.
So don't let me.
He's singing about smoking a lot of marijuana.
You're
saying he really isn't.
No, he's not. All right, go fuck a duck. What else? Ebola fears. They're striking at fucking LaGuardia, is it? Jesus Christ.
Jesus, those people don't want to go in and clean that plane.
Dude, get in and clean it up, man. I don't want a dirty plane. You going to make those people go in there with Ebola?
There's no Ebola, man. I mean, they haven't proved that there's Ebola. Obama dispatching
316 troops.
FBI exhuming body in Alabama. William Bradford Bishop Jr. Unlawful flight. That's ought to be interesting. Let's see. FBI's 10 most wanted fugitive, William Bradford Jr. So they've got a bust, age progressed. Photograph taken circa 1975. He looks like just some dude that I used to hang out with. But if he's 70 or 77 years old, he's like 15 years older than me. See ya, man. All right. Let's do it, man. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our tune-in and our listen-live folk. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and for better or for worse, and world-famous, and like that. Okay, so what are we looking at here, man?
Well, there are a number of stories here, Phil, having to do with the Ebola. I don't know. How much longer do you want to deal with this?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have to deal with Ebola. I could give a fuck about Ebola, to be honest with you. I don't give a shit. I don't give a fuck about Ebola like those motherfuckers with the dog.
You can't talk about a dog or anything.
Well, I am. All right, hold on, man, because we got to get going. So, welcome to the show. I hope you've all had a good overnight rest. I hope you're all sleeped it up. I hope you're all caught up with your slip and that you're ready to rock this mother, because we are, and there ain't no stopping us. All right, what are we going to start here with, man? What song do you want to start with?
I'd like to hear something. Well, you know me.
What about the That machine head.
You don't like machine head?
No, I don't, but just start something with...
All right, well, hold on, man. We'll get it going here. So, yeah, we've got ourselves a full platter